it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bring it up, Kate. You bet on the BetMGM Network. Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, Brett McMurphy, and you. Danny Parkins will join us in 20 minutes from First Things First on Fox Sports 1. All our bets for tonight, 40 minutes from now, the Power Hour, and every hour here on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. And joining us right now on the show to talk college football, America's college football insider for our friends at On3 Sports, the one, the only, the great, Brett McMurphy on Twitter at Brett_McMurphy. My friend, what's going on? Welcome back.
Hey, Nick, Femi, good to talk to you guys again. Hope everything's going great.
Oh, everything is magnificent. Maybe not for James Franklin, although I would argue it is. Here's $49 million not to work. We should all be so lucky. Brett, we'll get to Heisman. We'll get to actual games this weekend. But I do want to start with coaching vacancies and the coaching news and some rumors. So James Franklin gets fired by Penn State. Rumors they're going to try and throw a bag at Kurt Cignetti. We'll see. Rumors that the Florida Gators are going to can Billy Napier. Maybe that a response to Penn State getting ahead of the coaching cycle by firing James Franklin. What are you hearing right now about Penn State, potential next move for James Franklin, Napier, anything that you find interesting, Brett, as it concerns coaching, firings, hirings, et cetera, in college football?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that Penn State pulled the trigger on Franklin when they did. Pat Kraft, their athletic director, said this was not a three-game decision because of the three-game losing streak, but I would challenge that. I think it is. I think had they won the last two games after the loss against Oregon, I think he'd still be the coach. By saying it's not a three-game decision, then you're basically saying that it wasn't determined by the results of these three games. So I think it more likely it's that, they're eliminated more than likely. I mean, some weird scenario, I guess, where they could still get in the playoff, but realistically, they're probably out of running for the playoff. And obviously, it's been well documented. Franklin's struggles against ranked opponents, likely played a part. But, you're right. I mean, Cignetti and Matt Rhule and Pat Kraft, it's no secret. Both individuals have said it. They're very close. They're very good friends. They've worked with each other. Does Kraft go to him first? Does he try Cignetti? Does he do a curveball and go for somebody else? We'll have to see. But look, whoever he's going to get, they're not available for 2 months. I mean, also, if you're going after guys that are in the playoff, how confident are you going to be that if you're going after Kurt Cignetti, and I'm not saying Cignetti's leaving. I mean, that he's obviously got to determine if he wants to leave, and nobody knows that except him. So despite what you see is reported out there from the million different reports and sources and all that nonsense, no one knows, okay? But we do know this. He's not leaving Indiana until the season's over. And that season is probably not going to be over until January. And so if you're pursuing him, how confident are you that you can land him after the playoff? Certainly no one's going to be dumb enough to sign a deal to go somewhere else while they're still coaching another team in the playoff. So now it gets into back channel talks and, you know, how confident are you in that a coach, whether it's him, whether it's, you know, Lane Kiffin gets in the playoff. You know, I think he'll be the top candidate at Florida. Billy Napier will not return at Florida unless he runs the table. He has to win the final six games. And if you guys have seen the schedule, I'm sure you have, that's probably not going to happen. They're not going to fire him if they beat Mississippi State. They're not going to fire him after a win. Why would you fire a guy after a win when he just is coming up a loss? So I think his next loss will be his last loss. And I think Kiffin's going to be one of Florida's top candidates. I think Cignetti will be one of Florida's top candidates. But again, these guys are in the playoffs. Are you willing to take that chance? Because if you miss on a guy and you've waited that long, are you going to get destroyed in the portal? Are you going to get destroyed in recruiting by basically not doing anything for your program through the entire month of December and sometimes perhaps into the month of January? So, you know, I wrote something today for On Three real quick, Nick. I said, you know, if you guys have ever been to a state fair, I don't know if you remember, they had this crazy ride called the Super Himalaya, like just spun around and spun around. And if you're over the age of 18 and rode it, you probably threw up when you got off. Well, that's how fast the coaching carousel is going to be going in a month. And I'll just run through the laundry list of schools that could make changes. I'm not saying they will, but they could if things break wrong. Florida, Florida State, Auburn, Wisconsin, North Carolina, South Carolina, Kentucky. You've got LSU and Oklahoma ranked right now. Guys, if they have a bad second half, they could make moves there. So it's going to be fascinating if all this happens, because at some point, I don't know who all these schools are going to hire. And their fan bases are going to go, wait, this is who we're hiring? Yeah, Nick Saban's not coming through that door, guys.
It was called, Brett, and as I remember, in New York at least, the Super Himalaya was called the Gravitron. And at St. Anastasia, the great school that I went to in Little Neck in Queens in the late 1980s, I absolutely threw up after a ride on the Gravitron at the fair there at St. Anastasia. I want you to give me 30 seconds on two questions in a row here. First one, your best guess, pencil, not pen. So you got a chance to change your mind. Where is Kurt Cignetti coaching next year? 30 seconds.
Man, no inside information, total speculation, just reading how these things kind of work out. How about this? Not at Indiana. Where? I don't know.
I have to be honest. I don't even know if this is smart or not. It might be stupid. I kind of think an NFL team should hire him, and maybe that's the most ridiculous thing of all time. I think he's like the best coach that's ever lived, and I'm probably overstating it. I think he's the man. Second question, 30 seconds or less. What's going to happen with Bill Belichick at North Carolina, and when does it happen, whatever it is that happens?
Man, you know, there's been approximately a billion reports about what all is going there in that cluster. You know, I honestly don't know. I mean, I don't, you know, is he in this for the long haul? Does he want to put up with this? You know, everyone's, you know, saying, well, you know, give him a couple of years. You know, he needs to get his players in there. Well, he signed those players to come there. So either they're not as good as he thought or they're not performing. You know, I think if he's miserable there, you know, there were some reports North Carolina's trying to come up with some NCAA violations, you know, that can make getting out of that contract a lot easier. Obviously, Belichick's can't push back on that. So I think this is TBA, but real quick, Nick, I know, you know, back in the day, you used to be worried about the Sports Illustrated cover jinx. Well, there's now a new cover jinx in college athletics, and that's Us Weekly. Because ever since Belichick and his 24-year-old girlfriend were on the cover of Us Weekly, they have not won a freaking game, all right?
Amazing, amazing.
It has not been great down there in Chapel Bill. This is You Better You Bet. Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, hanging out with Brett McMurphy, college football insider on Three Sports, America's college football insider, who you can hit up on Twitter at Brett_McMurphy. The Heisman Trophy, Brett, is heating up after we just saw Indiana beat Oregon. Fernando Mendoza is among the favorites. Ty Simpson right now is the favorite over at Alabama, tied with Carson Beck. How do you see this playing out down the stretch? I know we spoke back in August. You said, hey, the Heisman is hard to predict. How do you see this playing out now that we've gone through half the season so far here in college football?
It's hard to predict. I'll do this. I'll tell you guys that if you guys promise not to tell anyone, I'll tell you a secret on how to pick who's going to win the Heisman. Just between us, all right? Cross your fingers. Here's the deal. Statistics don't matter, okay? I don't care what Mendoza's thrown for. I don't care what Ty Simpson's done. I don't care what Carson Beck has done or anybody else. It's the narrative. Who's got the best narrative and who's on a team that's winning? Last year, the narrative was Travis Hunter versus Ginty. Travis Hunter, we didn't care how many receptions he had. We didn't care how many interceptions we had. What was the big thing? How many plays did he play? That was it. He could have played 90 bad plays, but nobody cared because he was doing something nobody else had done before. That was the narrative. That's why it was over midway through the season. It's a little bit more difficult now because the narrative, you can make a narrative for all those guys. Carson Beck leads Miami to the first ever ACC title. Ty Simpson leads Alabama back after last year's disaster and the opening loss to Florida State. Mendoza leading Indiana to undefeated season. All those are great storylines. The problem is we need a little bit more results to see how these games play out. So I don't think you can necessarily say any of those guys are definitely going to win it. And it may not be any of those guys if their teams don't win down the stretch. But just don't, if you're trying to make a future wager on the Heisman, please, please, please do not get caught up on statistics. I vote for the Heisman. I'm not necessarily saying I do this all the time. I guarantee it a bunch of other people do it. You can't, how many yards has Mendoza thrown for now? How many has Beck done? Nobody knows. The stats are crazy now. Everybody has monster stats. You can manipulate any stats to benefit you or have a better read on your candidacy than somebody else. It's all going to matter on the narrative. And look, listen to the TV announcers. When you hear them fawning over somebody repeatedly, and that person is not employed by that conference or work for that conference, keep that in the back of your mind. I think they may be telling you something.
A couple more minutes here.
Did you ever hear anyone not talk about Travis Hunter last year?
It was all over the place last year and a couple years ago as well, but obviously an overdrive last year when he won the Heisman Trophy. A couple more minutes with Brett McMurphy here from On3 Sports. Brett, if Ohio State goes undefeated, will Julian Sain win the Heisman Trophy?
What hurts him is that, again, let's say if Miami's undefeated and Ohio State's undefeated, then no, I think Beck wins it because Ohio State's been there, done it. It's not a surprise. Ohio State was preseason number three. So, the fact that they go undefeated, okay, great. Ohio State's undefeated again. Yeah, okay, wake me up when you win another national title. Plus, you got Jeremiah Smith there, who could take votes away from him. So again, if Miami's undefeated, Miami wins the ACC, I would take him. That's not fair. I think he would win it over Sain because of the uniqueness of what he's done. The same with, Ty Simpson at Alabama. Alabama coming off a miserable season, what he has the potential of doing. Indiana, if they get to the they go 12-0 and they lose to Ohio State in a crazy Big Ten title game, he may still have a better shot than Sain, even though they lost that game, depending how those things play off. So I don't necessarily think you can automatically say he would win it. You're smart in thinking that, because I would say this also real quick on future Heisman picks. If you're thinking of taking a person on a team, look at their odds to win the national championship and or get to the playoff compared to their odds to win the Heisman, and take whatever the better number is, because one is not going to happen without the other. I'm not saying you have to win the national title, but certainly you would get deep enough in the playoff where you could hedge out of it, to make a positive return.
I'm gonna box you in a little bit here because we only have like 45 seconds for the answer. We have a hard time break coming up here. My opinion, Brett, is that if Ohio State does not win the national championship, Alabama will. I'll ask you, if Ohio State does not win the national championship, who does? 45 seconds for the answer.
Man, I'm boxed in. I'd love to disagree with you, but I can't because I really think Alabama's that good. I will put an asterisk on that. They need Jam Miller back. They're running back. He's a workhorse. They're a different team without him. That makes Simpson so much better. But talent-wise, absolutely. That's why the loss to Florida State was so shocking. I would put them up there. And also, Nick, I don't think there's a real dominant team. I don't think Ohio State's dominant. I really think you've got a handful of teams that can win this thing. And like last year, you don't even have to win your conference title. It's whoever gets hot at the right time and who you draw in the playoffs, I think, will play a bigger factor on who wins. But I would have no issues with that. I wish I could disagree with you, but I can't. But check with me in a week or two, and I'll come up with somebody.
Well, we look forward to that because we love having you on the show. And we'll see if Jam Miller plays for Saturday for Alabama, has a concussion questionable for the game against Tennessee. If he doesn't play, that game becomes way more interesting. Brett, you're the best. We appreciate it. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Brett McMurphy joining us on You Better You Bet. On the other side, Danny Parkins from First Things First on Fox Sports 1 stops by.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Caleb takes it, gets a block from Swift, and is in for the touchdown. They just got it away, and it's Swift with a catch, and still going. DeAndre Swift veers into the end zone. Snap a bit high, kick is good, and the Bears win it. Jake Moody, a hero tonight.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's Joe Buck with the call on Monday Night Football. Now, Danny Parkins is about to join us on the show. Chicago guy, big Bears fan. So, you know, we got to come back with the Bears highlights. I think you can tell that our engineer on the show, Jake Hassan, is also a Bears fan since we played about 9 separate Bears highlights just now coming back from break. And there was a voice conspicuous from his absence in those highlights. And that is ESPN analyst Troy Aikman. Because while Jake Moody's kick was sailing through the uprights, you couldn't see it on TV, but he was throwing his fine china into the wall. He was not happy at the conclusion of that game. Joining us now to talk the 3-2 Chicago Bears and the rest of the comings and goings in the National Football League is our buddy, former You Better You Bet co-host, celebrity Chicago Bears fan. You can watch him weekdays on Fox Sports 1 on First Things First, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern, our pal Danny Parkins. Danny, welcome back to the show. Happy Week 7 in the NFL, my friend, to you and yours.
Thank you. A part of a group that still has 2 entries alive in Circa Survivor, despite losing many entries on Rams and Cardinals. Chair of 18 and the NFL. It's the greatest entertainment product of the world, and there's not a close second.
You know that I agree with you on that. I'm going to do this now. Who do you like this week in Survivor?
So in Circa, I feel like you can't pick the Chiefs because you've got to do a Christmas game and a Thanksgiving game, and they play both holiday games. So even though the Chiefs are like the free space on the board with Rashee Rice coming back and playing the Raiders, I don't think you can pick them. Leaning Patriots in the, ooh. Yeah, they're not going to get the dead cat bounce for the Titans with the Brian Callahan firing, and just then Mike Vrabel is not going to let his team have a letdown spot for his revenge game. Leaning Patriots, but I heard a groan from you. You don't like it?
No, I think the Patriots are absolutely going to win, and a brutal injury report today for the Titans. I love like taking a road team there. Like generally some people don't like doing that. So I love the thought process there. Might I suggest, and look, we got eliminated. So I don't know how much we should be really giving advice here, but we had a concept here on the show that was called the Be a Man Survivor Play, where if you really wanted to be a man, there's a pick that you would make this week. I think we got two options, Danny, this week if you wanted to get away from the Chiefs and maybe you wanted to save the Patriots. They do have an easy schedule coming up the rest of the way. One would be the Carolina Panthers at the disgusting New York Jets. Carolina, a 1.5-point road favorite. And the other, and this is like, this will put some hair on your chest. Dogs in the game going up against Dylan Gabriel, the Miami Dolphins. Can I interest you, Danny, in being a man this week in Survivor?
No.
I'm happy that I got you on that.
No, I love the preamble. I love the concept. I have absolutely no...
Like, listen, it was your bar mitzvah a long time ago, but Danny, now's the time to actually really become a man here this week 7 NFL Sunday.
Yeah, you made me... Like, if you would have stopped after Carolina, I would have been like... I would have sent that one to the Survivor group chat and we should consider it. But when you started including the worst vibes team in the NFL with a terrible defense going up against that Browns defensive line, I was like, I cannot consider the Miami Dolphins in that spot. I'm with you on Dylan Gabriel as a favorite. I don't love it, but I'm staying far, far away from that. But kudos to you. You think outside the box. I like it.
Well, we're also in the box, as in like in the grave, eliminated from Survivor. So I don't know how much my opinion should hold weight. I want to hit you with a fan question first, and then we can do some like actual football stuff. You know, this was obviously an incredible win for the Bears on Monday night. You've been following the Bears closely for a long time, and it's a little bit prisoner of the moment, I think, to ask this question. I'm going to ask it anyway. Where does that win rank for you among like best regular season wins in your lifetime?
Oh, man, it's, I mean, listen, there are better, when Justin Fields had 170 plus rushing yards against Miami, I was like, this is the most exciting player with the ball in his hand since Devin Hester. Like, I loved that game. Now, it ended up being fool's gold, but like in the moment, I loved that game. Obviously, you know, the Denny Green, the Bears are who we thought they were, and they let him off the hook, and like the comeback and Urlacher and all of that. Like, it's not a top five Bears regular season win of my lifetime, but it was a signature Ben Johnson game, and it was like I was so stressed during that game and leading into that game. Like, I did not enjoy it at all. Like, it was just like they get three takeaways, but not putting the ball in the end zone. And then the Commanders go on the 17-3 run. And then Troy Aikman is killing Caleb Williams. Some of it I thought justified. Some of it I thought was a little over the top, but not a huge deal. And like, it was just none of it was the penalties, the touchdown being taken off the board, Zacchaeus dropping the ball on what would have been a 97-yard touchdown. Like, it was just, I was a nervous wreck relying on Jake Moody. And like, Jake Moody had one kick blocked by a guy's elbow and it could have been blocked by his kneecap. That thing was so low. It was basically a ground ball. Like, I did not get a lot of enjoyment out of that game until the last kick went through. Like, to me, that was much more of like relief than jubilation.
As it concerns Aikman, and I'm going to say this only because like I know you a little bit. I think, you know, it's Wednesday. It's a couple days after the fact. Like, you got to go on national television the next day. You think about it a little bit. Is it that big of a deal? Like, honestly, like probably not. And also, like the Bears won, so kind of like who cares a little bit. I'm guessing in the moment you were like, F this guy. And I know that you don't actually feel that way by Troy Aikman, who's awesome, but as a Bears fan, like, am I reading this correctly? Your feelings towards Troy Aikman's call of the game, not Aikman as a broadcaster.
Listen, Aikman as a broadcaster, they're incredible. Like, I love the Buck and Aikman team. And I thought I was locked into it. Not because of social media, but because, like, at the very beginning, I actually thought what he was saying was, like, pretty spot on. Like, he was like, that was a completion, but it should have been a bigger gain because that was a yards after the catch spot. Or him and his receiver weren't on the same page, and the receiver was right. Like, that was zone, and Caleb threw it like it was man, and the receiver sat in the zone coverage. Like, the two-point conversion when he missed the running back in the flat. Like, I thought there was a lot of, like, valid criticism from Aikman, and I welcome that. Like, I don't want Caleb to be judged on the Mitch Trubisky, Rex Grossman, Eric Kramer, Jay Cutler curve that Bears fans grade him on. Like, I want him judged on the Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels, number one pick, Heisman Trophy winning curve. So, like, I welcome harsh criticism of Caleb. I thought that at times it felt a little preconceived. I thought him saying that DeAndre Swift was lucky, like, felt a little weird. Caleb saying today at his presser that he was supposed to talk to Troy Aikman, but the day, like, the schedules didn't line up, and then he called him and he didn't connect, like, almost putting it out there, like, was Troy mad that Caleb didn't connect with him before the game? Like, so, like, I have no idea if any of that is valid. And so I definitely, my antenna was up, right. And I kind of read it like you do, but the thing that it's a great sports radio topic. It's a great Twitter topic. I don't love that Caleb mentioned it or that Ben Johnson mentioned it. Like, that's the type of thing for fans to get it, not really for quarterbacks and coaches.
I like that Ben Johnson stood up for his player. Do you don't feel that way about Johnson? I agree with you on Caleb. I like it from the coach.
So, like, Caleb was trolling a little bit, and he's very online, and he's in his early 20s. So, like, I actually understand it more from Caleb than from Ben Johnson. I didn't think Troy Aikman was that unfair, that, like, it warranted Ben Johnson saying something. And Ben Johnson said something, and then when he did his thing with Jeff Joniak, the Bears play-by-play guy, and then when he was asked about it in front of the whole local press, it seemed like he was almost surprised that he was getting asked about it, and he walked it back and was like, "Yeah, you know, in order to get respect in this league, you know, you gotta do more, and we're trying to do that." Like, I just don't think you want that to be a 3-day story, because that game was huge. Like, it was a de facto playoff game for the Bears. They're plus 240, I think, to make the playoffs right now. What do you think they would have been if they would have lost? Plus 400? Like, under 500, out of the bye, losing the tiebreaker to the Commanders, an NFC loss, like, losing a game where you're plus 3 in the turnover battle. Like, that was a huge game. And so talking about the broadcaster for the coach and quarterback just feels like missing the forest through the trees. Like, take care of business in the next 4 weeks. Beat the Saints, lose to the Ravens with Lamar back, Ravens out of the bye, beat the Bengals, beat the Giants, and we're talking about a 6-3 Bears team that at that point will be like even money or better to make the postseason, and this season all of a sudden has real meaning. So I just don't want to get lost in anything that ultimately doesn't really matter.
You better you bet here on this Wednesday. Danny Parkins is our guest. First things first on Fox Sports 1, on Twitter at Danny Parkins. The one thing I'll say, Danny, about Ben Johnson, when he said in the interview with Jeff Joniak that he saw the Aikman stuff because his kids were watching the second half the next morning, it's like, no, dude, like don't you don't have to lie about it. Like someone told you and you went back and watched it. You didn't like happen to watch your kids watching the second half on replay while they're getting for school. Jeff Joniak should have responded to him by saying, Ben Johnson, you are ridiculous. 30 seconds for this one. Will the Chicago Bears make the playoffs?
No, I think they're too inconsistent. And I think they, you know, the Vikings game might come back to be the difference for it. I know you picked them to make it. I picked them to make it. I'm not there yet on it. But again, we're going to do this every single week. I want you to ask me that question every single week. As of now, I'm a no, but I'm very much hoping to be wrong.
Well, so you don't have the Bears in the playoffs right now on October 15th, Danny, but which teams in the NFL are actually good through 6 weeks?
So I did something to this today to end First Things First. I did like a little scripted monologue over the shoulder piece. And my conclusion was, if no one's good, we should just say that the Chiefs are good because they've been to 7 straight AFC Championship games, 5 Super Bowls, won a Super Bowl when they led the league in drops, and won 15 games and made it to a Super Bowl when they had 4 different guys start at left tackle. So, like, if no one's good, then that means the Chiefs are good and they get the benefit of the doubt. But it's remarkable. Like, first time since 2014 that there was no undefeated teams after week 5. 4 teams that were a 7-point underdog won outright in just the last 2 weeks. 28 games have been decided by three or fewer points already this year, the most through 6 weeks since 2000. Like, the Panthers can shut out the Falcons, who then the next week can put up 34 on Washington and then beat Buffalo. The Giants can lose to the Saints and then 4 days later beat the champs. Like, the Colts would be the one seed. They had the 25th best Super Bowl odds before the year. The Bucks would be the one seed of the NFC. They had the 14th best Super Bowl odds before the year. Like, it is a truly wild year with flaws in every team. So I feel like then the default is, I guess the Chiefs are the best team in the league.
I absolutely agree with that. I've been saying it since the offseason, not deterred by the start for Kansas City. Now they get Rasheed Rice back and Danny. I went nuts about this on Tuesday after the Bills lost to the Falcons. And final question here in about a minute. So Buffalo gets run over by Atlanta. Falcons beat them by 10. Defense is all over Josh Allen. And the Bills defense, yet again under Sean McDermott, like, sucks in a big spot. Buffalo is still the Super Bowl favorite right now at our show sponsor, BetMGM. Like, I'm guessing you don't like the Bills to win the Super Bowl. Like, that's egregious, right? Do you agree with me on that, that the Bills are the favorite?
It is egregious. It is. But the reason, and you know this, is like they believe that they're going to be the one seed. That they believe that their schedule is easy, that they will win the division, and that the AFC playoffs will go through Orchard Park. Like, it's not a power ranking. They are the best team in the NFL. It's who is most likely to have the easiest path. And so I think that's why the odds are there, because like the Bills clearly are not the best team in the NFL right now.
For me, it's like borderline, like, sexual fantasy. Chiefs as a road dog in Buffalo in January. If we get there, and I know we're putting the cart before the horse here, is that a button that you'll click? Assuming injury stuff remains static, Chiefs money line in Buffalo in January.
Yeah, obviously. Picking against the Chiefs in January is a virtual impossibility. I'm not going to go as far as borderline sexual fantasy, but that's why you're you and I'm on national TV.
Well, you know what? You just wait. You wait till we get there, my friend, and we'll see. When you see that plus money price, we will see. We appreciate you, my friend. Stay well, and we'll catch up with you next week here on the show.
You guys are the best. I love coming on every week. Thank you, sir.
Our friend Danny Parkins joining us here on You Better, You Bet. All right, we will take a quick break, and on the other side, we will give you all our bets for tonight in the world of sports, and we will also play a rousing game of Predict the Prop with our friend Brad Evans. We wrap up shop on a Wednesday. You Better, You Bet here on the BetMGM Network.
We'll be right back with You Better, You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
All right, have some thank yous to dole out before we wrap up the wonderful Football Wednesday edition of You Better You Bet with all our bets for tonight in the world of sports. And we will shortly play a rousing game of Predict the Prop with our friend Brad Evans. Three tremendous guests joined us on the show today. You just heard our friend Danny Parkins from First Things First on Fox Sports 1. Thank you very much to Danny. Thanks to Brett McMurphy, college football insider for our friends at On3, and Odyssey Sports NFL insider, the great Brian Baldinger. Our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Our technical director, Tyler Morales. Our engineer, Jake Hassan. Our video producer, downtown, Mike Brown. Coming up after us is a four-hour live betting extravaganza known to you and yours as BetMGM Tonight, featuring our friend Ryan Horvath, and I see the smile starting. He's about to come on camera. Our guest at this time, the one, the only, the great Brad Evans. Brad, welcome back to the show. Hola, amigo.
Hola, amigos. And yes, the pearly whites have come out to party.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Mike, do you get your teeth whitened?
No, man. Look at my teeth. It looks like I've been drinking coffee for 50 years.
Your teeth, honestly, like on camera. Like, they look good. I'm being serious.
Yeah, they look white on camera.
Yeah, because they got the brightest lights imaginable here at the Casa de Evan Studios. So I look like I just went to the dentist. How about that?
Would you ever get your teeth whitened or, like, go tanning or, like, do anything of that sort?
No, dude. I look at me, for crying out loud. I got a highly punchable face. There is nothing I can do. I can inject all the Ozempic into my frame, and I would still be doughy and miserable.
You're not fat.
Yeah, but I'm not shredded either, brah.
They can't even subscribe you, Ozempic. Yeah, what are you talking about,
dude? You're 52. Like, you're not gonna be shredded. Like, the metabolism's working against you.
I love how you just keep adding years onto my birth certificate. I'm 47, America, but I honestly feel like I'm 82.
All right, let's get to some predict the prop, Brad, for week number 7 in the National Football League.
All right, Femi, you won last week, so you get to choose the position, a quarterback, running back, wide receiver. I'll even throw in a tight end, but I only have one tight end to choose from. So, Femi, pick your poison.
Give me a QB, baby. Let's go with the signal caller.
All right, the prop is pass yards for one Drake May on the road in Las Vegas taking on the Tennessee Titans. Femi, predict the prop.
So, expectations, they're going to be winning the game, so maybe some second half runs. I'll say 242 and a half for Drake May.
All right, Costos.
This is Drake May against the Titans. I don't bet quarterback props, so I have no concept of what this would even be. I could be way off here. Yeah, like, it can't be like 300. It's not going to be that high. I'll say a little lower than what Femi gets. I'll say 220, but I'm guessing.
All right, both of you. Now, Costos was the closest, only 6 yards off at 226 and a half is what the prop is for Drake May, who's been balling and shot calling, especially down the field. Femi, over or under?
Oh, we're going all day over, baby. They're going to be throwing that thing in the first half, 200, maybe even the first half alone. Yeah, give me the over.
Nick?
If Jeffrey Simmons doesn't play and Devondre Sweat doesn't play, they might just run the ball for like 200 yards. But a pass for me for right now.
Yeah, that's my concern, is what will the score be at the end of the third quarter? It could be extraordinarily lopsided, and you get a lot of balls to Bella Ramondre Stevenson, and maybe, just maybe, gentlemen, this is the week we get the breakout from one Travion Henderson. A lot of fantasy managers hoping for that. All right, Costos, you're up next.
Don't hold. Let's not hold our breath on that one, please.
Yeah, well, of course not. We shouldn't.
Remember August.
It might happen. Yeah, it might happen. Running back, wide receiver, tight end. Nick, what do you got?
Let's go wide receiver.
All right, we're going to go with Brian Thomas Jr. of the Jacksonville Jaguars in a game at the butt crack of dawn across the pond.
So I think it needs to be up at this point after a good couple games in a row for Brian Thomas, even against the Rams defense. I think the first number is a 7 this week. Or it's either high 6 or low 7. I'll say somewhere in the range of 69.5 nice to 71.5 for Brian Thomas.
Just give me an exact number. I don't deal in ranges.
70.5. We'll split. I actually think the first number is probably a 6, but I'll shoot a little high and say 70.5.
All right, 70.5. Femi?
64.5.
All right, the actual number is, Nick's the winner. Ding, 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 at 68.5. So, Nick, what do you say, over or under?
Over. He's back.
Trust him?
Yeah, I think that's strong.
No more dropsies?
Okay, let me ask you a question, Brad.
Sure.
What's Travis Hunter's number?
You want to guess? Femi, you want to guess?
No. I'd be way off. I don't know. How many snaps are they going to play him? I can guess.
34.5.
It's higher than that. Actually, open at 42.5. It shaved off 4 yards, currently at 38.5, and I would windmill slam dunk the under all diggity day long on that.
Did you see the report today that the Jaguars are going to look to play him a lot more on offense this week? And Liam Cohen saying this is not me saying I'm going to bet the over.
Yep.
I just think it's an interesting point of conversation that Cohen is saying that he wants to scheme up routes where Hunter is like the lead option on the play as opposed to him just being like an option to be the number one option on a play. And presumably here's not my recommendation. Just being screens.
Yeah, here's my recommendation then. Just bet him to have the longest yardage on a catch. So, you know, it could be at like longest yards for catch, 19.5, 18.5, 17.5. You should get a nice little discount there. He could really run a fly route, go route, and eat up a large chunk of yardage on one grab. So it could be a one catch cash, if you will, OCC. Yeah, you know me.
Yeah, you know me. And then let's end with a grab bag. You can pick either a running back or a tight end. Give us one player, a running back or a tight end to guess. Predict the prop.
Quinshon Judkins, rush yards against the Fighting Flippers, a.k.a. the Miami Dolphins. Whom are you up first?
I will say 71.5 on Judkins.
Higher.
Costos.
Higher. I'll say, I actually think it's going to be pretty high. I'll say like 82.5.
Nick is correct. Almost exactly right. The actual number is 84.5. So Casas over under.
Wow.
Well, how about this? I don't know if I'm going to bet the over. I would never bet the under. Never.
Yes. Yeah, I think the correct answer is bet the over. I'm going to go the alt market as well. I take it at 90. I take it 100 plus. I'll do a little step ladder on Quinshon.
Look what Vidal just did. And Judkins is 50 times the running back Kamani Vidal is.
Yeah, but also the Chargers were playing from in front in that game, though, too. I think I'd go under on Judkins.
Wow.
Brad, what would you do?
There might be a side wager.
Over. Right?
Give me the Judkins over on his receptions because Gabriel's going to be checking it down to him as they're down by three touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
But he doesn't catch the ball, right? Like, that's his problem in fantasy?
Yes. Harold Fannin all day on catches.
Yeah.
That's the route you go there.
Just trade Njoku. Like, enough with this. And let's turn it over to Harold Fannin. Brad, great job. Have a great show tonight on BetMGM Tonight.
George Kirby over 15.5 outs at an even Steven plus 100 odds. I'm out!
Oh, we are extra unhinged for the I'm out there. Brad Evans joining us here on the show. All right, let's get to the bets for tonight. Jake the Snake, please drop the dope-ass beat. All right, we want everybody to swing big on your next bet with an MLB postseason odds boost token. Use your token to net a bigger payout on a winning bet. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the app and please gamble responsibly. And make sure you download and subscribe to You Better You Bet in podcast form. Search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. And like, comment, and subscribe. YouTube.com/@TheBetMGM Network. Twitch.tv/TheBetMGM Network. All right, game three of the ALCS tonight, Femi, with the Mariners and the Blue Jays. The M's minus 130 favorite, so they've been getting bet over the course of the day. The Blue Jays plus 110, total of the game 7. How are you betting this one tonight?
Yeah, there's actually been a little bit of interest coming in like over the last like 20 minutes or so in Toronto. I see like minus 123 that's out there as well. I think Seattle wins the game. I bet the Seattle Mariners back in July during the trade deadline at 10-1 to win the American League. I like where that sits right now. Small bet just to sweat it out and have some camaraderie on the Mariners to win tonight. So minus 120. I'll add a little, not a full double down, but a little bit of a double down. Small bet for the M's. I think they get it done. Kirby shoves, and I think the bats continue to come alive for Seattle.
I will be on the Mariners tonight as well, betting the Mariners in every game, have them to win the series, and I feel very, very strong about it that Seattle wins tonight, and I actually think that they sweep and head to the World Series literally for the first time in franchise history, which is crazy to think. I think it's happening. Yeah. I really do think it's happening this year.
Baby.
Frozen Femi have locked up for the ice tonight in the National Hockey League?
Frozen Femi is locked up, and he will be locked in on the Mariners game. So no goal scorer bets for me tonight on the ice. We'll be back tomorrow with some goal scorer bets. But, I mean, there's only four games. I didn't find anything that I love, so no bets.
Let me see if I want to place a bet tonight on hockey. I don't think I do. So Senators and Sabres minus 110. Yeah, the Mammoth are... Ooh, do I want to bet the... Is Dustin Wolf starting tonight?
Like minus 235 or something like my goodness.
Oh yeah, because the Flames backup is playing. That's why.
Yeah, like there you go. Tell the story.
I know enough about hockey to know that a line like that means the backup's playing. Because if Dustin Wolf were playing, that would be an easy bet on the Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
Blackhawks Blues. Blues a huge favorite. Yeah. Maybe
it's not a great card in hockey tonight.
No, it's not. Maybe the Blackhawks? Plus 195? Eh, I base it on nothing. What do you have for us to close the show?
What the hell's going on with Travis Hunter? We were talking about it a while ago with Brad. Is he going to be on defense ever again? Is he on offense? Like, I don't know what to do with this guy. Like, I don't know why they drafted him if this is what it's going to be. Honestly.
So here is the quotes from Liam Cohen today. Was asked about it. He said, scheming him open, meaning Hunter, is part of it. That's number one. Our job as an offensive staff is to make sure we're putting him in the progression and putting him in the position to be a number one option a little bit more often in some ways. And when he's the primary, we've got to throw and catch. We've got to make sure that we identify it, find him, be able to at the right spot at the right time. Yeah, I don't care about any of this. Like, let's just enough talk. Like, let's see
it. Play him. Yeah, just play him. You drafted him. You moved up. You drafted him second overall. Play the guy. Otherwise, why'd you do it?
Two first round picks in a second. Like, let's get the guy a little bit more involved.
Yes.
That does it for the Wednesday edition of the show. Tomorrow, tremendous football Thursday. We will get you set to bet and win on the Bengals and Steelers, Thursday night football, and more. Until then, I'm Nick Costos wishing you minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck.
Thanks for listening to You Better You Bet. Up next, it's BetMGM Tonight on the BetMGM Network.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.